Welcome to the Immune Thrombocytopenia edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the ITP community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the American Society of Hematology Conference in New Orleans, and we're speaking with Dr. Catherine Broom, an Associate Professor of Medicine at Georgetown MedStar University Hospital in the Lombardi Cancer Center in Washington, D.C. Dr. Broom, a hematologist, focuses her time and research on autoimmune hematologic disorders and complement. Thank you for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
So the topic of our conversation today is your presentation on efficacy and safety of intravenous efgartigimod in adults with primary immune thrombocytopenia, otherwise known as ITP. Can you tell us a little bit about this disease?
So ITP is a relatively rare autoimmune disorder in which patients produce autoantibodies against their platelets. Once these antibodies, which are almost always of the IgG class, bind to their platelets, the platelets are prematurely cleared from the circulation, resulting in thrombocytopenia or a low platelet count. This results in increased risk of bleeding, oftentimes spontaneously for patients with ITP. It's also an inflammatory disorder, which can cause patients to have chronic fatigue, muscle aches, joint aches. Combined with the risk of bleeding and bleeding symptoms, this can produce a lot of anxiety and other quality of life issues for patients with ITP.
How prevalent is the disease?
So the disease affects roughly about 10 per million population. It's a little bit more common in women than it is in men. We see it all the way from childhood through adulthood.
Does it affect any ethnic group more than another, or is it across the board?
It's a pretty equal opportunity disorder. The mm-hmm. only group that is slightly more affected are women, but no ethnicity predilection has been observed.
I understand. And up until now, what has been the primary way to treat ITP?
There are multiple therapies that are available for ITP. Most of them have been directed at trying to decrease the production of this IgG autoantibody. They include things like steroids, intravenous immunoglobulin, rituximab, all of which have their own set of potential side effects for patients.
And what are some of the side effects that rituximab, for example, is a widely prescribed drug, have specifically with ITP?
So I think specific concerns with regards to rituximab is that it does affect our B cell population. And those B cells are responsible for helping us make antibodies to deal with infections, but they also are responsible for responding to vaccines. And in this era of COVID, we become very concerned about patients not being able to adequately respond to vaccines and potentially then being at risk for severe ramifications of a COVID infection.
Because they're immunosuppressed, right?
That is correct.
So how do you get around that?
Well, you know, we do have other therapies for ITP. I mentioned steroids. I mentioned IVIG. There are thrombopoietin receptor agonists, which are drugs that tell our body to make more platelets to try to even out that distribution. And so those are some of the therapies that we can use to try to get around the immunosuppression.
Okay, so let's talk about the trial, Advance IV.
Correct.
And this was a phase 3 multicenter double-blinded placebo-controlled randomized clinical trial. You enrolled 130 patients. Where were the trials held?
So the trial was an international trial. We had patients in the United States, all across Europe, Japan.
Okay, so six countries you mentioned. And could we summarize the results of the trial?
Absolutely. So the results of the trial showed that efgartigimod, which is a neonatal Fc receptor agonist, it binds the receptor that tends to protect immunoglobulins from being degraded or removed from our circulation. And when that drug binds, the immunoglobulin is not able to. And so it is then cleared from the circulation, reducing the total levels of immunoglobulins, which are antibodies, and reducing the level of these autoantibodies against platelets. What we observed in the trial was that when compared with placebo, efgartigimod improved platelet counts. It clinically improved bleeding scores overall in all the groups that we looked at, whether you were older or younger, whether you had had a splenectomy or not, whether you had been on a prior therapy for ITP, efgartigimod outperformed placebo in all of those groups.
Okay, and I took some notes here. It says that 38.4% of treated participants reached a platelet count of 30,000 at week one, compared to 11.1% of those on placebo.
Correct.
How significant is that?
You know, I think that's very significant. One of the key features of ITP is this risk of bleeding. And the length of time that your platelet count is below 30,000 increases the risk of bleeding. So this within 1 week, that 38% of a very difficult to treat population. So this study looked at patients who in general had had more than three prior therapies and had had their ITP for more than 10 years. So notoriously a hard to treat population. And we saw 38% of them reaching that sort of clinically significant goal of improving their platelet count by 1 week.
So there were no children in the study?
That is correct. 18 years of age or older.
I see. Okay. You mentioned also that you said no matter what subgroup we looked at, it showed a benefit over placebo. And from a safety perspective, there were no issues. So even divided among geographic composition, gender, etc., everybody benefited.
That is correct. That is correct. So age, gender, where you were in the world, whether or not you had had prior therapies, how many prior therapies you had had, what prior therapies you had had, none of those influenced the ability of efgartigimod to improve platelet counts when compared with placebo.
How much do we know about this disease? It's relatively rare, right?
It is relatively rare. We have known about the disease for a very long time. I think our understanding of the fact that ITP is probably not a single entity. It probably has different pathophysiologic mechanisms amongst the different patients. And as we are able to interact with the immune system, such as with efgartigimod, in a very specific way, it allows us to continue to learn about the differences in patients with ITP and hopefully to be able to predict upfront which therapy is going to be best for which patient.
Okay. And of those patients who completed the study, they go on to an open extension?
That is correct. So 90% of the patients who completed the study did enroll in the open label extension, which will allow us to continue to evaluate the durability of the response and any additional safety issues. I think the fact that such a high number of patients were willing to go on to participate in the open label extension speaks to not only the efficacy of the drug, but also the fact that there were not any significant adverse events.
And just looking to the timetable, when do you think this can actually come on the market?
So we're looking at needing to complete an additional phase 3 trial in ITP. So I would assume that we need to get those data available to us, which may take as much as another 18 to 24 months. And then we, of course, have to apply to the FDA.
Wonderful. Dr. Broom, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank
you. Appreciate
your
time. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.